Small steps can help keep food safe during the holiday weekend. Glenn McNeil from Fort Hays State University stops by to talk to us about that on his nutrition, health, and wellness segment on this episode of the Post Podcast.
We are a social group, people. You know, they call us social animals. And we are because we like to get together. And one of the things that generally happens when we get together is food, because food shows comfort. It shows love. It shows respect. It shows that we like and enjoy the people we're around. So we offer them something, and then that encourages them to stay for longer periods of time and visit. And so, you know, we have a lot of food at holidays, and a lot is what tends to be there, and it tends to be around quite a bit. And since, you know, we're off, so to say, work, or we're with family, we tend to spend a lot more time sitting in the same locale. And that's when we find more snacking going on. And a lot of times, especially when you look at Thanksgiving, somebody does a really good job on making a particular hors d'oeuvre or a particular dessert or whatever that food item is. And we as individuals feel, whether we acknowledge it or not, we feel a little bit of responsibility to eat something of everything. Now, except me, I don't eat sweet potatoes. So I don't like sweet potatoes. So
how can you not? Okay, well, we'll talk.
That would be a whole 2 or 3 day radio.
I was going to say, I got to know the story behind this.
Well, they're good for you. Okay.
Super good for you.
Well, they're good for you in the fact of, like any potato, they're good for you if you just eat the potato. But when you put all those other toppings and sweets and marshmallows and brown sugar, you sort of take away the good from it. And they're a good source of vitamin A. They're a good source of beta carotene. If you eat the skins, they're a good source of fiber. So, you know, all of that, I know all that. I just don't really like sweet potatoes. So,
okay, well, to each his own, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. I tell my wife that, so she makes them every year. Thanksgiving. She says they're good, so I'll buy into that. But in other words, we feel a responsibility to eat something that people prepare to show that, oh, well, thank you for bringing it. Yes, it's good. Yes, I respond to the love and time you put into that food product. And so at Thanksgiving, of course, you know, it's traditional turkey and a traditional meal. So first thing is, if you have not yet bought your turkey, good luck. Okay. They're tough to get right now. The stores have them. Prices are up a little bit. We haven't seen any of these fantastic turkey sales we've seen in the past, but kind of like everything else that's going on right now, it's tough to get items and products like that. So if you haven't bought your turkey for, you know, a week from today, probably ought to get your shopping done, okay, to do that. And then if you're going to cook your turkey next Thursday, take it home and put it in the refrigerator, okay? Don't put it in the freezer. It's going to take a while for that to thaw out, all right? And we usually say about 7 days, okay? And depending upon the size of the bird, you know, if you get a 15 to 20 pound bird, it's probably going to take about 7 days in the average refrigerator. When you put it in the refrigerator, put it on a pan, put it on the bottom shelf. Okay, make sure there's no raw food product or anything below it, just in case those juices would have to spill over the pan, a little bit, because like any poultry, you have the concern of salmonella, okay? But they're usually, you know, in a plastic case or whatever. And part of the reason it takes so long for them to thaw out, they're big, they're frozen all the way through, and you leave them encased in that wrapping. Okay, you don't want to unwrap it and put it in the refrigerator and let it thaw out. You leave it encased in the wrapping. So that kind of traps some of that cold in there in that process. So give it now's a good time to put it in there. Give it 7 days or so to thaw out. And if your refrigerator is not one that gets opened frequently, it may take a little longer than the recommended time that's on the turkey or the information, because the temperature of your refrigerator doesn't go up and down very much. Terry and I learned that a few years ago with the kids all gone, you know, the refrigerator doesn't get opened as much as it used to. So it takes an extra day or two for our turkey to thaw out. So ours is sitting in the refrigerator now, getting ready for, we're going to host it next weekend. So we're giving it about 10 days to get good and thawed out. And you're okay so long as it sits in there and thaws. Depending upon how you're going to cook it, then that has an effect too. A popular method these days is deep frying your turkey. Biggest key when you deep fry that turkey is make sure it's completely thawed out. Okay. There's no water and there's no ice crystals, trapped in the cavity of that turkey. Because if there are, you're going to get a, not just a foaming of that oil when you put it in there. You're going to get a little pop that goes, a big pop that goes along with it. And that the immediate thaw of that moisture coming out through the cavity where the neck is causes that oil to shoot up. Okay, and so it's very dangerous in our process. So it's a good idea to make sure it's really thawed out. You know, open the cavity, take the giblets out if they're in the giblets, and make sure the cavity is somewhat dry and thawed out on the inside. If your bird is not completely thawed out, okay, you can thaw it out under running water. Don't put it on the counter. You can use a microwave. I've never been real fond of using a microwave to thaw that big of an item, okay, in terms of that. But you thaw it under cold running water. You don't thaw it under hot water because that causes part of the bird to come up to a warmer temperature. And if there's bacteria present in it, it may allow some minor growth there. So you just put it in a pan big enough that it can stay submersed in. Turn the faucet on cold and get it full, get that pan full, and then turn it down to just a little bit of a dribble so that the water continually runs off of it. And you'll find that it will thaw very quickly. You know, that water is considerably warmer. It's cool to the touch, but it's considerably warmer than the bird. And so that will thaw your bird out relatively quickly. Okay, I mean, it's not super fast, and don't use hot water, okay, from that process. And then it comes down to how you're going to cook it, whether you're going to smoke it, you're going to barbecue it, you're going to bake it in the oven, you're going to deep fat fry it. You know, I don't know whether – never. I've never thought about air frying a full-size turkey, but I suppose you could do it these days. It's probably a little bit big and thick to actually air fry. You could use your air fryer. I suppose if your oven has an air fryer in it, you could use it to crisp the outside of the turkey. Okay. I don't know. I have not researched that part. I hadn't thought about that. And the only reason that brought up is our oven of 30 some years died.
Oh.
So we had to replace it here, and we got one with an air fryer in it. And, you know, I hadn't thought about that, but, you know, we're usually not big on that. If you do not have a $2 stick thermometer, go buy one, right? It is worth it, and it'll tell you. I'm not going to say temperature. What I'm going to say is right on that thermometer, it's going to say turkey, okay? Mm-hmm. You cook it until it reaches turkey. Right, until you reach that point, get out. If you buy one that has one of those pop-up thermometers in it, you know, the little pop-up stick thermometer is, when the bird's done, it pops up. I still say, go get you a stick thermometer. And it's a, you know, they're about 5 inches long with a dial on the end. And do not, I had a friend of mine one time call me. He says, Glenn, I went out and bought one of those thermometers, but he says, I don't understand it. It melted in the oven. Oh, no. Well, I said, they're not designed to be used. Some of them are, but that's a pretty special thermometer.
Not the $2 one. Yeah,
not the $2 one. And he said, oh, okay. But, you know, put it in. I usually encourage people to put it right in the center of the breast, okay, in the largest part of the meat, and make sure that that is up to temperature and done. When you take that bird out of the oven or out of the fryer or whatever, let it sit. Meat continues to cook for approximately 5 minutes. The temperature will continue to rise for approximately 5 minutes after you take it out. Now, you can take it out, and what I think is good, you take it out, you cover it with some aluminum foil, and you put a towel on top of it, and you just let it sit there on the pan for about 5 minutes. So many people take it out of the oven, set it on the table, and slice it right away, and say, wow, look at the juices run. That's going to be so good. And then what they find out is it sits there for a while, and it gets dry. Okay, well, the meat, the protein that cooks, when you cook protein, meat, water is forced out of it. And then when you let it sit, and as the temperature starts to drop, some of that water is pulled back in. So then when you slice it after about 5 minutes, yes, you're still going to see some of the juices run, but your meat's going to be more tender. It's going to be juicier from that standpoint. So that's a good process. Recommendations these days, if you're going to stuff your turkey, you know, whether you make your stuffing or you use stovetop or whatever it is you do, smart thing to do is cook the turkey. When it's nearly done, okay, stuff it, or wait until it's done and then put the stuffing in it and let it sit in there for that 5 minutes or so and absorb some of that taste. Problem is that sometimes in the cavity, especially the bigger birds, the as the juices cook out of the turkey during the heat process, they get absorbed by the stuffing. Sometimes that stuffing doesn't reach 165 degrees. So you have a little bit of an issue there. So the, you know, just the safe thing is to fix your stuffing separately and then stuff your bird if you want. But most people I know now just make a pan of stuffing and put it on the table. You know, and of all things left over after Thanksgiving, that's, I like stuffing.
Okay. So, oh, yeah. I mean, who doesn't?
Well, some people don't.
I don't want to associate with them people. I'm sorry. I'm sorry,
kinda like,
folks.
It's kind of like sweet potatoes. Some people don't like stuffing, you know. Yeah, leftover stuffing. So, you know, if you're going to do that, make your bird so that, you know, you can display it and it looks really good in terms of that process and what you're going to do. So we've got turkey and we've got stuffing and then, you know, cranberry sauce if you want to go along with, you know, make it. And some people make their own cranberry sauce or they buy real cranberry sauce or, you know, what's popular is the jellied cranberry sauce in a can.
That's the good stuff.
That's the good stuff. You know why it's the good stuff?
It's full of sugar.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. So that's one of those things you want to be a little bit careful with about how much you're going to consume as a commercial product. It does have some more sugar in it. And whether you do mashed potatoes or twice baked potatoes or just plain baked potatoes, you know, that's up to you and how you fix them and fresh. And to get the most nutritional value out of your potatoes, leave the skins on. Now, a lot of people don't like mashed potatoes with the skins on them, but, you know, that's the fiber component of the potato. That's also that little piece in there between the skin and the potato itself where the true nutritional value is. And I understand that. I mean, I like my mashed potatoes to be real fluffy and soft, and you kind of don't get that if you leave the skins on them. You know? Mm-hmm. That process, but I know some people who basically bake their potatoes first and then peel the skins off and make mashed potatoes that way. Gives a different taste, a little bit different texture, and then they fry the skins and eat the skins later, you know, as a snack later in the day. So there's a lot of things that you can do. Remember the 2-hour rule, okay? From the time you put it out, 2 hours, it needs to be after that 2-hour time period. It needs to be broken down into smaller portions, put in the refrigerator or the freezer, you know, because the longer you leave it out there past that 2-hour time period, the longer it's in that danger zone, that 40 to 140 danger zone for bacterial growth. And that's true of appetizers you set out ahead of time. You know, if you set things out ahead of time, like, you know, we like to put cheese and crackers and vegetables and dip out kind of the first thing in the morning. So people have those things to snack on, you know, while you're fixing the dinner and the kitchen's the center place because everybody's around the food, the kitchen and the dining room, you know. So we have those kind of snacks out. You just want to be careful that you don't leave them out too long. I know it's tough to throw food away. So you always kind of need to watch the times a little bit. And some things that are smoked or fermented, you know, can last a little longer because in essence they have enough preservatives in them. But I always remind people of the 2-hour time limit. You know, just when you get past that, that's the real safe side. You can go somewhat past that. But usually especially with colds and flus on the way up, COVID's still around. The fact is you don't want to leave all that food out exposed so people can breathe on it. It's going to happen, you know, and hopefully nobody gets sick, but you want to do that. What else?
I think that's it. I mean,
you're quiet today.
You're giving us so much good information. Like, I keep writing notes.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And you're just checking them off as I don't even have to ask. You're just on it.
Desserts. You know, whatever your favorite dessert is. Mine's called Butterfinger dessert. And it's made with Cool Whip and ice cream mixed together, put on a graham cracker crumb crust, and then Cool Whip put on top, and then crushed Butterfinger candy bars put all over.
I'd never heard of that, I would eat that.
My mother-in-law makes it all the time, and my wife makes it, and I just think pumpkin pie is okay. I like pumpkin pie too, but oh yeah, and it's got French vanilla pudding in it too.
Mm.
Okay, so by the time you're all done and you get all that together, I really don't mind if nobody else eats any of it because it's really good in the refrigerator for 3, 4, or 5 days, you know, as the flavors blend. But that's my favorite. But we always have pumpkin pie, and we have like a fruit pie. Apple pie or a cherry pie that goes along with it. And so you know, if you spend the time to bake them yourself, you can do those things ahead of time. do what you can ahead of time so that the person in the kitchen also has the time to interact with everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a key. Don't lock somebody away in the kitchen. But some people want to be, you know, that they're, this is their meal to fix.
This yeah. Playing the role of the host. And
you know, this is their meal to fix. This is in our house, this is my wife's meal to take care of. I can help if she wants me to go get something or peel some this or peel some of that, but she's in charge of the meal and the food, because that's something that, you know, this, like, she likes to do. Now when it comes to Christmas and we're doing prime rib or ham or something like that, and that's my part. Besides, we don't get along in the kitchen, you know, if you can believe that. She does things her way and I do things my way, which we've just learned, you know, from that. So we get along pretty good. And I will admit, she's a better baker than I am, a much better baker. I'd rather eat her cookies and pies and cakes than mine.
Nice.
So yeah, with that. You know, a selection, a variety of foods and desserts and what goes on. Probably one of the biggest things is just watch how much you eat. Remember the key. One of the keys is the smaller the plate you use, the fuller it looks with smaller portions.
Right.
So if you're trying to moderate that, always think of it in this way. I'm going to take a small portion because I can always take more. There's plenty there. I don't need to fill my plate up here, you know, and really do this. What I can do is I can have a small portion. I can eat a little bit of everything I want, and then I can go back and have more of the things that I really want. What we run into so often in holiday times is people lose the awareness of what they're eating. There's, you know, so much communication, people you see, having a good time. We just don't think about how long we've been snacking, how many times we've dipped into the dressing the sauce that goes along with the chips that are out there, or how many different types of cheese and sausage we've had with the four different types of crackers that are sitting there before and after the meal. You know, all of that thing, we tend to get lost in it. And that's good for us to get lost in that. You know, that social aspect is good. But you need to have a little bit of awareness and spread out your food intake during the day. You know you're going to eat a big meal. It's just hard to do with all that food sitting around. It's not do that. But then you also know that there's going to be things brought out for the afternoon while you're around. Okay? And then there's going to be that evening meal that comes back. And for many people, it's turkey, you know. Okay, well, that's okay, so long as when you're done with lunch, you get that turkey broken down into smaller packages, and put it in the refrigerator so it can cool, and then when you pull it out in the evening, it's safe to eat from that standpoint. So, you know, that's what you do in that process is be able to do those things. And a lot of people say that, you know, the best part of Thanksgiving is 2-3 days afterwards.
Mm-hmm. That's what my wife is. She cooks way too much food, right? Just so we have it. Or so she can have it.
So you can eat it after. Break it down into small meals, you know, and just watch as things cool. Cool things in your refrigerator properly. Don't leave things sitting out. That's what you really want to be careful of. You know, you want to think of the meal, and at the same time, you want to think of what's going to happen the next few days or time period where you're going to eat all those leftover foods. And enjoy it. I mean, that's pretty much what we want to do. Especially the way things have been the past 2 years, make your favorite foods, take your favorite foods along with you, snack, just be careful. And it's a good idea for the afternoon while you're watching football and you're doing all those things and you have those chips and dips and vegetables and all of those things set out, have small plates for people to use. That will help them eat less than if they just go and dip. And
yeah, because then you end up just standing there and, right. And watching and eating.
So you put
and
it
watching.
On a plate, and then you move. People tend, when they put it on a small plate like that, they tend to move away from the food and then eat what's on their plate. Now, maybe they go back, but there's less likelihood that they will consume more. So you can help your guests, you know, in terms of that process.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah. That's kind of what we talk about around here. Thanksgiving, you know, is what we're going to eat. And you know, how we're going to work it into the day. So I really hope people have a safe holiday season. I hope they enjoy their family.